I want to welcome everyone to tonight's call. It's 9 o'clock. We thank you so very much for calling. I'm Brother Tommy Brooks, host minister of this nationwide gospel meeting call. First ever for our congregation, first ever for the conference call. We do it weekly, every Thursday night. But this month, we're doing 20 days, 20 speakers for 20 days, 20 powerful messages, 2020. And we thank you for being on the call tonight. At this time, I'm going to ask our co-host, Brother Anthony Flunder, to open us up in prayer.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this opportunity. We're thankful for this day. We're thankful for all those who have called in to hear your divine word of truth. We pray, Lord, for the speaker of the hour, that he deliver your word in such a way that it is clear, it is concise, and he only speaks those things, thus said the Lord. We pray, Lord, for this effort, that you bless us and bless that this go out to the entire country, to the entire world, that perhaps someone may hear something this evening that can save their soul. We ask this prayer in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Flunder. Again, I want to welcome those who are not members of the Church of Christ. You are a very important person to us. You're the VIP of this audience. We put this call along with you in mind. We want you to know that in the Churches of Christ, we believe that the Bible is right. And every word of the Bible is right. And we believe there are men and women who are seeking the truth to know what does say the Lord in a simple, powerful way of hearing it. We have presented to you tonight our speaker, Brother Rufus Johnson, North DeSoto Church of Christ in DeSoto, Texas. He'll be speaking from the subject, the truth about the sinner's prayer. Please take note of what he will say tonight. Brother Johnson.
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters, loved ones, and friends. I'm Brother Rufus Johnson, minister to the North DeSoto Church of Christ that meets for worship and other activities at 1301 North Polk Street, right here in DeSoto, Texas. I want to say a special thanks to God Almighty for this opportunity, to Brother Brooks and to Brother Flunder, for this opportunity to be a part of this May 2020, 20 days, 20 preachers of gospel preaching. Tonight, my topic is the truth about the sinner's prayer. The truth about the sinner's prayer. The Bible says in Proverbs 28 and verses 9, one that turns away his ear from the law, even his prayer is an abomination. The Bible also says in 1 Peter 3 and verses 12, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but his face is against them that do evil. Also, the Bible says in John 9, verses 31, God heareth not, we know that God heareth not a sinner's prayer, but if one be a worship of God, him he heareth. Have you heard this prayer that would bring salvation, the sinner's prayer? Churches all around the world today are putting out their message through flyers and through public worship and over the radio and over TV. They're saying, just repeat the sinner's prayer, believing in Jesus, and you'll be saved. I'm asking you tonight, does the Bible teach this? Is this true or false? And is it something that you've heard? Is it something that you believe? Is it something that you practice? Is there a way that we can know whether or not this is true or not? Before we start tonight, there's some questions that I want to ask you because I want to get a commitment from you. Do you believe and do you accept that God's word is the authority? Do you believe and accept that the word of God, the Bible, as God's authorized revelation to mankind? Do you believe and accept the Bible as the inspired word of God? Do you believe and accept the fact that we'll be judged by God's authorized, inspired word one day? Do you want to go to heaven? If I'm able tonight to show you things from God's authorized, inspired word that is different from what you believe, what you practice, or what you have been taught, will you commit tonight to change from your opinion of what you've heard or what you practice to follow God's holy, divine, and inspired word? Well, what is the sinner's prayer? There are some variations about the sinner's prayer, but for the most part, it goes something like this. Oh God, I know that I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus was my substitute when he died on the cross. I believe his shed blood, death, burial, and resurrection were for me. And I receive him as my Savior in my life and in my heart. And I thank you for forgiveness of my sins, the gift of salvation, and everlasting life because you are my merciful grace. Amen. Where in the Bible can you find a passage not like this, but even one similar to this? Well, the answer is absolutely nowhere. Does the Bible teach the sinner's prayer? If so, where in the world does it come from? Let me tell you something tonight, my brothers and sisters, loved ones and friends. You cannot find a sinner's prayer in God's word, and you can't find the sinner's prayer in God's word. Telling us to repent or to repeat such a prayer is not found anywhere in God's inspired and authorized word. And I hope none of you tonight have allowed any of the false, lying, theological malpractitioners to dupe you into a perverted gospel, which is not a gospel because there's only one. So to believe in something that you cannot find in God's word that is authorized by God, inspired by God, would be like eating the devil's corn. And believe me, he'll always choke you with his cob. There is but one God and one Lord, Jesus Christ. The Bible declares in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 5 and 6, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. In this verse is God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, and they knew absolutely nothing about the sinner's prayer. So where did this malpractice come from? My brothers and sisters, listen to me good tonight. God's plan has always been the same. Faith plus confession plus repentance plus baptism equals the salvation. That has always been God's plan. So now we have God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ on record knowing nothing about the sinner's prayer. Well, the Holy Spirit reveals God's truth. The Holy Spirit never said anything about a sinner's prayer, but it does say in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through verses 13, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. In these verses, the Holy Spirit knew absolutely nothing about a sinner's prayer. So where did the malpractice come from? Listen, God's plan has always been the same. Faith plus confession plus repentance plus baptism equals the salvation. The Holy Spirit in the New Testament said in John 14, verses 6, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. We have God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit in this one verse. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Then in John 16, 13, the Bible says, howbeit when he, the Holy Spirit, is come, of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. But he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he also speak, and he show you the things to come. In these verses, the Holy Spirit knew nothing about a sinner's prayer. So where did this malpractice come from? Listen, God's plan has always been the same. Faith plus confession plus repentance plus baptism equals the salvation. What the sinner's prayer does? Well, according to the scriptures, absolutely nothing that God has told us to do in order to be saved or to obtain forgiveness of sin. This is a fantasy invented by man to make salvation so easy to obtain without obedience to God's will. If this is not true and cannot be proven by scripture, God's authorized, inspired word, then it's false teaching that gives people a false hope of salvation. It is in truth a lie, and many that think they're being saved will actually find themselves being lost. Scripture says nothing about a sinner's prayer, so where did this malpractice come from? Because God's plan has always been the same. Faith plus confession plus repentance plus baptism equals salvation. Well, you might ask, where did the sinner's prayer come from? I'm glad you asked, because I'm too happy to tell you. Eleazar Wheelock in 1741 in the Great Awakening, devised a technique by manipulating people's emotions, and he called it the mourner's seat. In 1801, at the Cane Ridge Revival in Kentucky, they were having a week that lasted for several weeks. The temperature was very hot. The people went without food. They became delirious. They started rolling around in the aisles, barking like dogs. It was then at Cane Ridge that preachers realized they could manipulate emotions of people. That's where it started. Then in 1835, when Charles Finney combined Wheelock's mourner's seat with the Cane Ridge Revival, and he developed what he called the anxious seat. He was excited about being able to manipulate the emotions of people. He said that his technique held the place of the apostles when they were preaching the gospel, when people responded and were baptized. He said that his technique developed, the anxious seat took the place of what the apostles taught. Then in 1860, Dwight Moody came along. He modified the anxious seat of what Finney had had. He called his technique of manipulation the inquiry room, psychological manipulations of emotions. And they met back in the back room and had his counselors trained to tell people to accept the Lord Jesus in your heart and you'll be saved right on the spot. Moody considered prayer as the last step in salvation. It was in 1899 that R.A. Torrey modified Moody's system by taking the inquiry room out of it and performing on-the-spot street conversions. Torrey's method of conversion made popular instant salvation without any strings attached. Bill Sunday came along in 1900. He was a well-known baseball player. He started preaching. Very charismatic, very entertaining, a lot of showmanship, had a lot of antics, used a lot of humor to stir up emotions and manipulate people's emotion. He actually said that he preached and people could be saved by walking down the aisle of his tent on the Sawdust Trail. And then in the 1940s, guess who came along? Billy Graham finally came along in the 1940s, trained the counselors to encourage those who responded to his altar call to pray that Jesus would come into their hearts. These fellows had figured out how to manipulate the emotion of low information people who didn't think for themselves, and they took advantage of it. Then in the 1950s, Bill Bright came along. He took this concept of manipulating the emotions of people. He coined the expression, the four spiritual laws, which end with the so-called sinner's prayer. You'll hear people on TV even right to this day saying, just accept the Lord Jesus in your heart, say the sinner's prayer. Then they tell you to look at the phone number at the bottom of the screen and call in and send them some money. My brothers and sisters, this doctrine is no different than people saying, just lay your hands on the radio and be saved, or lay your hands on the TV and be saved. But has anybody been saved according to the word of God by just laying their hands on the radio or the TV or just saying a sinner's prayer? Absolutely not. Are these people pleasing God or men? Were people being saved based on truth or on the words of men? These false teachers seem to think so, and they did also when people responded to their call of their man-made doctrine, of their technique that they had developed to manipulate the emotions of people. The scripture says nothing about the sinner's prayer. So where did this malpractice come from? My brothers and sisters, come a little closer. Let me whisper something to your soul. God's plan has always been the same. Faith plus confession plus repentance plus baptism equals salvation. That has always been God's plan, is God's plan, and will always be God's plan. Prayer in the Bible was a privilege of the child of God, one who had already been saved from sin. That's what 1 Peter 3:12 says. The Bible helps us understand nowhere in the Bible is anyone ever taught to pray an alien sinner to salvation or forgiveness. The Word of God does not tell us how to be saved, but prayer is not the way. The Word of God does tell us the way to be saved, but prayer is certainly not the way that is taught in God's inspired, authorized Word. Proverbs 28, verses 9, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination to God. John 9, verses 31, now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Scripture says nothing about a sinner's prayer. So where did the malpractice come from? Listen, God's plan has always been the same. Faith plus confession plus repentance plus baptism equals the salvation. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 3 and verses 12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Who are the righteous? It's simple. Those who obey the teachings of Christ, not the sinner who does not obey the will of God. Scripture says nothing about a sinner's prayer, so where does the malpractice come from? God's pattern and plan has always been the same. Faith plus confession plus repentance plus baptism equals the salvation. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6, the Bible says, hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even if he is righteous. He that committed sin is of the devil. I think that makes it pretty clear. Christians who have obeyed the gospel, who follow after God, and who have obeyed the pattern and followed God's plan should have confidence in prayer. John writing to the Christians, not sinners, in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. But it's beautiful, and the child of God can have confidence in it. The scripture says nothing about a sinner's prayer. So where does this malpractice come from? Listen, God's plan has always been the same. Faith plus confession plus repentance plus baptism equals the salvation. When Jesus taught men to pray, he taught them how to pray, what to include in our prayer. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 15, and Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. Jesus was not praying. When he was teaching about prayer, how to pray, what to pray for. Never did he instruct his apostles to tell sinners to pray the sinner's prayer and they would be forgiven. Why not? Because it's not a part of his will. It's not a part of his plan. It's not a part of the pattern. It's not authorized. It's not inspired. If you could be saved by saying a sinner's prayer, well, Jesus didn't know it, because his plan has always been faith plus confession plus repentance plus baptism equals the salvation. Did Jesus teach the apostles what to do to be saved? Yes, he did. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, Jesus came unto his apostles. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. If you could be saved by just saying a sinner's prayer, I'm saying tonight, Jesus didn't know it. God's plan has always been the same. Faith plus confession plus repentance plus baptism equals a salvation. In Mark 16, 15 and 16, Jesus said, go into all of the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. He could have said, tell him to say the sinner's prayer, but he didn't. And the reason is because he didn't know nothing about no sinner's prayer. In Luke chapter 24, verses 46 through 48, he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it behooves Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. If you could be saved by saying a sinner's prayer, Jesus could have said it right there, but he didn't, because Jesus didn't know nothing about a sinner's prayer. His plan has always been the same. Faith plus confession plus repentance plus baptism equals a salvation. After the apostles were preaching on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, verses 37 through verses 40, they proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ. The people were pricked in their hearts. They said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They could have said, just say the sinner's prayer, but they didn't. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. Verses 40, save yourselves from this untaught generation. I'm telling you tonight, my brothers and sisters, if you could be saved by saying a sinner's prayer, Peter could have said it right then, so the apostles didn't know anything about a sinner's prayer. Why not? Because it's not authorized. God's plan has always been the same. Faith plus confession plus repentance plus baptism speaker of salvation. Philip goes down to Samaria to preach the gospel in Acts chapter 8. The Bible says in Acts 8, verses 12, when they believed Philip's preaching, the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. He could have told them to say the sinner's prayer, but he didn't, because he didn't know nothing about a sinner's prayer. And the reason is, it was not a part of God's plan. God's plan has always been the same. Faith plus confession plus repentance plus baptism equals a salvation. In Acts chapter 8, Philip preaches to the Ethiopian eunuch, the man not understanding what he's reading. He joined himself to the chariot and said, do you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I, except some man should guide me? He started the same scripture and preached to him Jesus. And the Bible says, as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch says, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And they answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they both went down into the water, and he baptized him. How come Philip didn't tell that man to say a sinner's prayer? Because Philip didn't know anything about it. He knew that was not a part of God's plan. He knew that God's plan was faith plus confession plus repentance plus baptism equal to salvation. When we get to Acts chapter 10, we find a man, Cornelius. He's a devout man. He's praying all the time, three times a day, giving alms to the poor. He's a great religious man. He's been praying, but he's not saved. In Acts chapter 11, verse 13 through 14, he's told to send men to Joppa, call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all your house can be saved. Acts 18, verses 8, Crispus and the chief ruler of the synagogue believed on the Lord with all of his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Scripture said nothing about a sinner's prayer, so where did this malpractice come from? God's plan has always been the same. Faith plus confession plus repentance plus baptism equals salvation. I know somebody's out there saying, I can find a passage that validates the sinner's prayer. And they're going to go to Acts 2:21. Well, let me just go there with you and let's talk about it. Acts 2:21 is a passage that's used where people say it validates the sinner's prayer. Let's just see if it does. Acts 2:21 says, it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. They say, uh-huh, see there? It validates the sinner's prayer. Listen, many say calling on the name of the Lord means a sinner's prayer. But I want you to look at the context of Acts chapter 2. Peter tells the people what they needed to do to be saved. Acts 2, verses 36 through 38. He identifies in the scripture that calling was not saying a prayer, but included repenting and being baptized. Well, then they'll run to Romans 10, verses 12 through 17. We might as well go ahead and take care of that while we're at it. Romans 10, 12, 17. For whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. They say, see that right there? That validates the sinner's prayer. Let's take a look at it. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? There's belief. How shall they believe in him whom they've not heard? There is hearing. How shall they hear without a preacher? There's the preaching. How shall they preach unless they be sent? In other words, authorized with the one gospel, and it's not a sinner's prayer. So then he says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 4. It's the same book as Romans 10. Romans 6, 3 and 4 says, or do you not know that as many as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Then when you come to Acts 22, verse 16, when Ananias goes to Saul, before he was Paul, he says to him, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. In this verse, Acts 22, 16, it's very clear that calling on the Lord comes after baptism and not before. In Acts chapter 9, the Lord told Saul on the Damascus road to go on down to Damascus, and he told him what he needed to do to be saved. If anybody was going to be saved by a sinner's prayer. God could have saved Paul out on the Damascus road, but instead he sends him down to Damascus, and for 3 days he's down there blind and praying, but he's not saved. He still needed to be baptized prior to calling on the name of the Lord. Just calling on the name of the Lord or even praying as a sinner is an attempt to obtain forgiveness and salvation in vain. We see then that calling on the name of the Lord means complete surrender to the terms of God's plan, because God's plan has always been the same. Faith plus confession plus repentance plus baptism equals the salvation. I can just imagine now somebody is going to go and talk about the thief on the cross. They're going to say, well, the thief on the cross validates the sinner's prayer. Really? In Luke chapter 23, verses 40 through 43, let's talk about the thief on the cross. In all of Scripture, the sinner's prayer is not shown as a route to salvation or forgiveness anywhere. Some would take a select passage out of context about applying a principle inferred from an exceptional situation, specifically the thief on the cross, in Luke chapter 23. The situation is unique in that Christ himself is the sacrifice. He's the Son of God. He's the only one with power to forgive sins on earth. For Christ to forgive a thief on the cross who had no way to be baptized and who had acknowledged him as the Son of God is no stretch of the Scripture. But to imply that this forgiveness is available to us today without following the instructions that Christ himself gave in Matthew 28:18-20 is a distortion and a perversion of the Scripture, because God's plan has always been the same. Faith plus confession plus repentance plus baptism equals the salvation. The Bible says in Hebrews 9, verse 16 through chapter 10, verses 1, lays out the need for the death of the testator in order for the testament to become effective. The thief on the cross died under a whole different law. Christ in person was his only answer as the thief hung on the cross beside our Lord, connecting to the death, the burial, the resurrection of our now risen Savior. In obedience through baptism is our only option, because God's plan has always been the same. Faith plus confession plus repentance plus baptism equals the salvation. My brothers and sisters, loved ones and friends, let me tell you something. If a doctor misdiagnosed you, you could sue him. If an attorney gave you bad legal advice, you could sue him or have him disbarred. Just imagine the eternal damage done by so many of these diabolical so-called pastors and rabbis who practice this lying, deceitful theological malpractice. There is no such thing as a sinner's prayer. I asked you in the beginning if you believe that God was the authority, that his word was inspired, if you love the Lord, if you want to go to heaven. John 14:15 says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. I'm asking you now, do you love the Lord? The things that we talked about tonight from God's inspired, authorized word, do you believe that they are good? Well, the Bible says in James 4:17, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I'm asking you now, when we talked in the beginning about making a commitment, are you willing to follow God's pattern for salvation? By now, you ought to be able to repeat it with me. God's plan has always been the same. Faith plus confession plus repentance plus baptism equals the salvation. My brothers and sisters, loved ones and friends, there is no instance in all of the New Testament where prayer was used to convert and save lost sinners. So why do men try to change God's command about how he saves? Listen, Christ died for us. He left the word for us, and it's for our freedom. You shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Jesus endured too much for us, a tremendous physical suffering for us, won our salvation at a great price. He spent the night in prison being mistreated by the guards, and part of Jesus' suffering that night was to watch his closest friend abandon him. I'm asking you tonight, after you hear the gospel, will you crucify the Son of God afresh, put him to an open shame? He lived through these things knowing everything that was going to happen to him, including the death he was to endure on the cross, Mark 9, verses 12, but he did it for us. And after only a few lashes, the depths of the cuts and the wounds on his back were reaching to the tissues and the muscle covered with his precious blood that appeased the wrath of God. You can't get the benefit of the blood of Christ without obedience to the gospel of Christ and following his plan. And as Christians, we see an extraordinary act of love. Let the passion spur a prayer of deep gratitude to a Savior, to a Redeemer. It is the great mystery of our faith, the ugliness of the cross that opened the gates to our healing from sin. It's by his stripes we are healed. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. The truth about the sinner's prayer, God the Father didn't know anything about it. Jesus, his son, didn't know anything about it. The Holy Spirit didn't know anything about it. The apostle didn't know anything about it. You can't find it anywhere in God's word, know nothing about it. Sound preachers and teachers today know nothing about it. Where does it come from? You might get it out of the funny book, but you won't get it from the Bible. Those people who allege a sinner's prayer, I deny the allegation and charge the alligators. Those who practice theological malpractice, those con men, those false teachers, those wolves in sheep clothing, those who make merchandise of people by manipulating their emotions, who allow themselves to be manipulated in the name of religion. Listen, I'm telling you, God's plan has always been the same, and it has not changed. Faith plus confession plus repentance plus baptism equals salvation. I don't know where you are in your life tonight, but I hope you'll make a commitment to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lost sinners are only saved when they're willing to hear the gospel of Christ, when they're willing to believe what has been taught, when they're willing to confess Jesus Christ, repent of their sins with godless sorrow, be baptized for the remission of their sins, come from the watery grave to walk in the newness of life and live faithfully even unto death, because God's plan has always been the same and it has not changed. Faith plus confession plus repentance plus baptism equals salvation. God knows nothing about a sinner's prayer. And my brothers and sisters, that is the truth about the sinner's prayer. To Brother Brooks and to Brother Anthony and to this audience tonight, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to come and to share God's word. We hope that there are those who want to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're ever in DeSoto, Texas, we encourage you to come by. We meet for worship and other activities at 1301 North Polk Street, right here in DeSoto, Texas. God bless you and God keep you. I hope you have a good night.
Thank you, Brother Johnson. Certainly, you hit the nail on the head. This is the truth about the sinner's prayer. Again, to those who are on the call tonight, you are a very honored guest if you're not a member of the Church of Christ. We put this call on with you in mind. We hope and pray that you receive with meekness God's engrafted word, for we know it's able to save your soul. Our speaker has done exactly what we wanted him to do and asked to teach on this subject. If we on Monday night, we heard about baptism. If you want to know more about baptism, we have a preacher on every Monday night this whole month. We have someone speaking on baptism. Tuesday about the one church. Wednesday about the sinner's prayer. Tomorrow night we have another speaker, Brother Richard Odom, coming. He'll speak about the true worship. And then our close on Friday night about the gospel. And so therefore we are encouraging each and every person to continue to call. We have over 1,000 callers on the line tonight. Another jam-packed call. If you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you want to get baptized, you want to follow that plan of salvation as described tonight, get back with the person who put you on the call. Tell them you want to obey this truth. Tell them, and we'll get you to the closest Church of Christ to you. Or if you want a Bible class, we'll set that up with someone in your area to make sure they teach you more about what you must do to save your soul. It's appointed unto man once to die, but after that will be a judgment. Next week, we got some great speakers coming on next week. We're looking forward to Brother Harvey Stroud on Monday night about baptism, Brother Mel Futrell about the one church, Brother Tim Ellenby will speak to us about the sinner's prayer, Brother Don Blackwell will talk about the true worship, Brother Al Washington will talk about salvation. We have a great lineup. We pray that every member of the Church of Christ would take advantage of this month. Every night, make it your commitment to be on the call, support the preaching of the gospel in a powerful
and simple way. It's a soul-saving message. If you want to, the call is recorded. You can go to our website at HarlemHeightsCoc.net. That's HarlemHeightsCoc.net. And there you'll find, click on the recorded message for this gospel meeting, and they're right there on the home page. And so we pray that you'll go on there and listen to it, share it with others. We will have the flyer for next week coming out on tomorrow. So we'll be sharing that as well. And we encourage everyone to continue to support this national outreach during this time of COVID-19 via a gospel meeting, via conference call. At this time, I'll bring our assistant minister on, Brother Horace Stroud, who will be giving us closing comments and closing prayer. Brother Stroud.
Thank you, Brother Bert. We want to thank Brother Rufus Johnson, who taught so eloquently. There's no such animal as a sinner prayer. And as he taught so well, faith plus confession plus repentance plus baptism equals salvation. If a person wants to be saved, you'll have to obey the Bible, obey the Word of God in order to be saved. We're just thankful for all those that are in support of the call on tonight. And again, as Brother Brooks stated, can't reiterate enough, if you're on the call and you're not a member of the Lord's Church, the only church you can read about in the Bible, the Church of Christ, we ask that you do yourself good and get with the person that invited you on the call and let them know you want to obey the Lord. You want to become a Christian. You're not a Christian. You're not a child of God until I obey the will of God and do what God has stated. And again, I want to thank Brother Johnson, who so eloquently taught God's word. And hopefully you was as I were tonight. I took down my notes. I wrote down the scripture, Proverbs 28:9, 1 Peter 3:12, John 9:31, and other scriptures that supported those things that were said through the word of God. And so again, we want to thank God's man servant for being on tonight. And again, we want to still encourage those that have been, that have started the journey with us. We're talking about not seeing 2020, but hearing 2020, hearing 20 sermons and 20 nights from 20 messages. And so if you are one that you got started late, if you can't go 20 for 20, you can hear 19 for 19 or 18 for 18, but just start where you are and just try to continue supporting God's word. And again, if you're a Christian, this simply validates those truths that you have obeyed in your life, and also it can motivate you to be more faithful to those things that we find written in the Word of God. So again, I want to thank everyone on the call tonight. Thank those that coordinated and put this together, Brother Flunder, working with Brother Brooks on putting this together. And we, if God's will, we may do another month. If the virus can continue, the gospel will continue. And so we can keep God's word going out there, trying to save souls, not from disease, but from the disease of sin, which will cause a person to be eternally lost and not temporarily dead. And dear Lord, we just thank you for that. And having said that, let us go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Dear most gracious and merciful Heavenly Father, we come before thee again, dear Lord, with our heads bowed and our hearts lifted up with thanksgiving, thankful to your manservant who shared your word in its simplicity and made it plain. Dear Lord, if those that are seekers, if they'll open up their hearts and hear those things that were shared in your word and have the courage to obey the Lord, they can become Christians as we are. Dear Lord, we found from your message, there's no such thing as the sinner's prayer. It's simply, again, as was stated, faith plus confession plus repentance plus baptism equals a salvation. A person can become saved when they have obeyed the word of God. And we're thankful again for all that are on the call tonight. And the Lord, we ask that you will give all of us a peaceful night. And the Lord, allow us to have the energy to do those things that are set before us on tomorrow. And again, tomorrow night at 9 o'clock, we'll be on the call prepared to hear another message from one of your men servants. We thank you again for all your many blessings. If you be your will, give us a peaceful a night of rest. This prayer we offer in your Son Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
We pray to you, Emma. Good night, friend. May God bless.